So for this podcast, I want to kind of do something a bit new. This podcast isn't going to be my normal structure at all. This podcast is more or less going to be a rant, and the rant is going to go to many different places. It is a rant over the current bannings in Standard that have taken place over the last year, along with possible future bannings that we may see out of my own personal speculation. Thank you for staying with me on this rant, on this wonderful journey that we will intake, and I hope to hear what your guys' thoughts are in the comments section down below. And welcome back to MTG Eternities. I'm your host, Carl. We've kind of started Magic off into a rather interesting year, I think. Obviously, spoilers were a bit earlier in the year, so then it led into kind of like a dry spell with spoilers, and we'll get to spoilers kind of later on in this show. But right now, the big talk, especially in Standard, is the bannings. Over the last year, we have seen more Standard bannings, obviously, than in any other format, and it's just kind of astounding to me. The cards themselves aren't great, per se. Obviously, we do have Emrakul the Promised End and Reflector Mage seeing play in other formats, but aside from those two cards, we have yet to see any of these cards played in any other format outside of Standard. So then it leads me to think, well, are these cards truly that oppressive outside of Standard? And the truth be told, they aren't. If Frontier or whatever format the players try to push next actually becomes a thing, maybe these cards might get somewhere, but until that happens, these cards are just kind of sitting in the no-fly zone. They're too weak to make any impact on Modern, Legacy, Vintage, but yet they're too strong for Standard, or they're too annoying for Standard people to really care about. And I'm actually going to kind of recite what has been banned over the last year for you. So it kind of started off with Emrakul, the Promised End, Reflector Mage, and Smuggler's Copter. All three of those cards, very powerful. And as I mentioned before, Reflector Mage is now seeing play in Modern in the Modern Humans deck. Emrakul, the Promised End is now seeing play in a couple of Tron variants. Not heavily played, it's still seeing play as like a one of, but it's still, you know, it's there. And then Smuggler's Copter has yet to make an appearance in Modern. There was speculation for a while that it may make an appearance, but I think it's just too slow and too vulnerable to even attempt to make Modern. The one place I could see it actually seeing play might be like Affinity or something, but even there, the card is just overall too slow. And then we go into an emergency ban with Felidar Guardian. Felidar Guardian was banned after Emrakul and all those guys, and that's only because the Saheeli Cat combo on emergency ban was just too oppressive. But they decided to leave it. Then people realized, well, Aetherworks Marvel is still in Standard, so let's go over to Aetherworks Marvel. And Aetherworks Marvel reigned for about another, I want to say, 3 to 6 months, somewhere in that range, before we saw Aetherworks Marvel becoming banned. And if you aren't familiar with Aetherworks Marvel, it's a 4-drop artifact. If you have 6 energy, you tap the Marvel, you flip the top 6 cards of your deck, and you may cast any non-land card out of the top 6. More often than not, you cast an Ulamog with it, or you could cast an Emrakul, or whatever you want to choose with it. But at the time, with the limited selection we had, we were going with Ulamog. Then that got banned. Going into what happened as of today, we now have 4 more cards to add to that ban list. You have Attune with Aether, Ramen Up Runes, Rogue Refiner, and Rampaging Ferocidon. Timur Energy has been the big boogeyman of the format, not because it's the most winning deck, but because it's the most consistent deck. Ramen Up Runes, or Ramen Up Red, however you want to call it, is the most winning deck, but Timur Energy is more consistent than it. How they math that out, it's beyond me. I think like Timur Energy is like more consistent like by 2% or something like that. I'm not 100%. I looked at the numbers and I just kind of went with what the article showed, to be honest. And it's interesting when you look at it. We were all assuming that Timur Energy was going to get banned, but when I was talking to people, no one had any idea that they were also going to ban something from Ramen Up Red. And it's kind of shooting yourself in the foot before you need to say shoot yourself in the foot. And that might not be the best analogy for this given time, but that's the way I see it, is they decided that they made a mistake with energy, and they were going to ban some cards, but then they assumed that red would be the most oppressive deck in the format at that time, so they decided to nip red in the butt before people could have a chance to complain about that. And I could see why they did that, but to me personally, it's just a confusing sort of moment overall when you think about it. Like, take a look at Ramen Up Runes. It's a land card, it's going to produce a colorless, you tap the card, take a pain, you lose 1 life, and then you get a red. And then you decide to tap Ramen Up Runes for 4, sacrifice a desert, and you shoot your opponent for two. Nothing's wrong with that, but they directly made a card in Standard that will be legal in Standard as of this Friday to deal with this. And granted, decks would have to splash red for it, but that's relatively easy right now. And of course, if you don't know what I'm talking about Bloodsun. Bloodsun literally says land cards cannot activate any abilities unless they are for mana. So Bloodsun slams down, and now Ramunap Ruins can no longer activate its shock ability. Ramunap Ruins can no longer activate Scavenging Grounds. And granted, Bloodsun's not just for that. It's going to stop Search for Azkanta or any of the other flip lands that see play in Standard, or any of the other special deserts that even see play in Standard. But it's just an extent of which where I think they didn't necessarily need to do that. And did they make the right call on banning Ramunap Ruins? I'm not 100% with that. In fact, banning Ramunap Ruins and banning Rampaging Ferocidon out of Ramunap Red just seemed a bit odd to me. I don't know what to say. The Ramunap Red just seemed, obviously it was preemptive, and obviously Red has a lot to replace it with, especially out of this new set. They got a couple of new 2-drops that'll go fit well in the deck. They got some pretty impressive cards overall. Even if they wanted to splash white, they got a pretty impressive card for another flip card that they could use. But at that same token, it's just an oddity to me. Red is an impressive deck in the format, and then I've heard people say, well, Ramunap Red or Red deck wins or Mono Red, whatever you want to call it, should always be a tier 2 deck, and I don't necessarily agree with that. Red's just doing what Red is given, and Red cycles in and out just like the Tide does. Sometimes Red will be super oppressive, and sometimes Red won't be anywhere near that. I think last time Red was well represented was Devotion to Red with Purphoros and all those guys, and before that it was maybe Kuldotha Red, but that wasn't even as consistent as, say, Mono Red Goblins from the Zendikar block with all the available burn that was there. That was a truly, truly oppressive Red deck, and that could definitely outspeed any of the Red decks that we've seen in recent times, at least to my opinion, because then you had Goblin Guide, you had Warren Instigator, you had Goblin Chieftain, you had Ember Hauler, you had Bushwhacker, and this is on top of Lightning Bolt, Searing Blaze, and a couple other really good instant burn spells that just dealt damage to face. So I'm not 100% with the banning of Red, per se. I think Red needed to be maybe nicked, and even if it needed to be nicked, it's a small nick, and what they kind of did to Red was an annoyance, to say the least. I don't know how else to put it at this point in time. And granted, I'm not even playing Red. I'm playing Blue-Black Control, but I kind of sympathize with the Red players. It was not necessarily an uncalled-for ban, but kind of just a random here-you-go ban. We're not banning your expensive cards, but here's an annoyance. You're not going to be doing as much as you need to do, I think. And that kind of leads me into where I want to go with this, is what cards in Red should have been banned, if any at all. And it's hard to say, to be honest. Red's in such an odd position right now. The only card I could think of would maybe be banning, I don't know, Bomat Courier, or if not Bomat Courier, maybe Oncrop Crasher? I think it's Oncrop Crasher, yeah. Those two cards, if they wanted to ban two, it's just a hard place to say. Especially when you look at the decks in the long run. On kind of like a side note, and I know this podcast is going to be a huge rant today, and I'm sure a lot of people are ranting right now about various things. But on my rant, I kind of want to discuss one thing in particular about Rampaging Ferocidon, and that is, one, they're banning a dino before the dino even gets to have a chance to shine, and I don't think that's right. It's only had 3 months in Standard. If you want to ban something, ban the Oncrop Crasher or something else. Second, you can no longer really delve into Dino Tribal, and I know that's a stretch. They do have a couple other 3-drops that they now can play, but it's arguable that the Ferocidon is the best 3-drop that they have outside of the Scavenger. And thirdly, I kind of want to point this out, is they later cite the reason they even made Ferocidon is they made it as an answer to Saheeli Rai Cat combo in Standard. And they preemptively made this card to answer that. Well, my question is, why? At the time, you knew it a year in advance that the card is banned, and I know they make all these cards like a year in advance. They're doing all this stuff to kind of get on the ball and talk about these cards, but if that's the sole reason why you're making Saheeli Rai Cat combo is this one card, Well, that means you kind of knew about the card even beforehand, and they've gone on and admit earlier that when they made the Saheeli Rai Cat combo, they said, oh, it's a mistake. And I've said this for as long as the Saheeli Rai Cat combo existed, they knew what they were doing in Standard. They didn't think that a three-color infinite combo in Standard was accessible, per se. But then you look at what cards came out after the Saheeli Rai Cat combo existed. You have cards like Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, which literally says creatures and non-basic lands come to play tap in Standard at the same time as Authority of the Council, which again says creatures your opponents control come to play tapped along with artifacts, I believe, and you gain one life. So that card both simultaneously existed in Standard with Saheeli Rai Cat combo. Not to mention you have cards in Amonkhet like Manglehorn, which destroys an artifact on entry, and then artifacts also come to play tap. So they preemptively had three cards, to my knowledge, off the top of my head, that dealt with Saheeli combo, that go into colors in Standard. And now you print this Rampaging Ferocidon that says whenever creatures come to play tapped, it pings your opponent for one, and players can't gain life, which Saheeli Cat combo never really gained life. But if you're going Cat combo infinite, then all your creatures as pawn entering play take one life, so now you can't combo out without having to deal with a Ferocidon first. There's almost no point in making a card that specific, especially when you ban the card long before this thing even comes into Standard. This card was banned, so there's almost no point in this card existing at this point. And I understand that that's probably the reason behind banning things, but that's why you go through, before you decide to print the cards and print the product and all this stuff, maybe go through, have a look, and decide, well, this card was specifically meant for X. X no longer exists. Well, maybe we don't need it, so let's change it up a bit before we print this thing. Hey, let's change it up to just be a 3-3 that players can't gain life, has menace. Get rid of that last bit of text. I'm sure it doesn't take that much to do, and I'm granted, I'm talking about a last-minute edit. But if you know you're going to ban something, then that's you probably shouldn't be printing product 9 months in advance before you can start editing things. And this also kind of goes into research and development. We've had recent pro players get picked up by research and development from Magic the Gathering, and this kind of, in essence, ends their professional career. But it is something that is needed at this point. Obviously, research and development is kind of failing at what they need to do for Standard. I've been in favor of this for a long time, absolutely long time. But if you're playing Magic, I believe you should be having access to all three formats. You should have access to aggro, you should have access to control, and you should have access to combo. Wizards has recently banned the two combo pieces that we're using with Aetherworks Marvel and Felidar Guardian. They just nuked the decks out of existence. You have control trying to exist, trying to thrive in an environment that it can't possibly be because 60% of the field is aggro and the control decks can't really do nearly as much. So now that aggro has potentially been nuked into the ground or at least stopped to some extent, control has the ability to come up out of the woodworks and say, hey, we exist again, we're viable. But my issue with that is now eyes are going to be turning towards control. If aggro can't make big of a comeback as it should, eyes will be turning towards control, and they'll be turning towards, well, what cards are in control right now? And I'll tell you what cards are in control. Everyone's saying, well, the Scarab God should be banned. It's the main control piece right now. It's the control card to deal with. And because Magma Spray is in Standard, that is one of the few ways to deal with the Scarab God outside of just, like, outright countering it. That means that red and blue have the only answers, so they probably will print a few answers to Scarab God within the next set. They'll have to at this point, because outside of the Scarab God, control doesn't necessarily have a finisher out of the blue Elder Dino, and that's kind of mediocre in comparison to the Scarab God, at least from what I've seen. Decks might try to play it as a one or two of, and even then you also have Torrential Gearhulk coming in, and that card is not as powerful as the Scarab God, but it's still a powerhouse when you think about it. I mean, cards were printed specifically as sorcery, so Torrential Gearhulk could not cast them for free. And I'm talking about just cards that, you know, are six drops and should have been made instants because they return everything to your opponent's side of the field or so on and so forth because of that. There have been great cards in Standard that should have been instants that were changed completely just around Gearhulk. So this is a reason why I'm actually happy that professional players are now going over to research and development kind of edit the game and change the game up a bit. Obviously, our current research and development team needs the help, and by God, if we keep seeing bands at this rate, people will lose faith in Standard. They'll have to rebrand Standard as something else to get people to come back and play it. They've already, like I've mentioned before, banned 9 cards in Standard, which, as far as I'm concerned, is unprecedented for any format outside of the Mirrodin block. The Mirrodin block is just its own thing. Let's all admit that. Outside of the Mirrodin block, when that first came to Standard, this is the first time we've seen Wizards of the Coast actively decide to break out the whip and crack down and decide cards were not liable for Standard. Sometimes that's a good decision. Sometimes that's a very poor decision. And when you look at it in the long run, yes, it's better for the environment, but at the same token, it's a double-sided coin because it's going to be bad for you as a company. You're now banning cards that people have invested in. Granted, they got smart with this ban. The most expensive card that they banned was Rampaging Ferocidon. I think that was like $3. So it's not doing heavy damage on the wallet, but it is one of those cards that people are looking at and starting to now kind of lose faith in Wizards. So they need to make their game a little bit better. Over the last, I want to say, I heavily noticed it in Khan's block. In Khan's block, we had a total of maybe 3 viable decks. You had 60% of the format being Abzan midrange, right? You had another 20% of the format being a variant of Jeskai Black. And then the last 20% was divided among 2 different variants. You had rally decks come up out of the woodworks literally last minute before everything decided to rotate. And then the last 10% of the decks were just some rando stuff people are playing. Those were the decks. You had 60% aggro, 20% control, 10% combo, and then 10% rando. Those were roughly what it is. Those were roughly how the Khan's block was. Or you now go into Zendikar and Innistrad. So out of those decks, you pretty much just had exclusive combo with Coco. And even then, that's not per se a combo deck as much as it was for the sheer fact that people are using it mostly for tempo reasons. So that standard was plagued by Eldrazi, and that standard was also plagued by Coco. You had those 2 decks being the predominant decks of that format. Wizards decided to do nothing. They didn't decide to do anything until we had Reflector Mage come into format. We had other decks decide to come out of the woodworks with Innistrad and Emrakul finally landing. That's when they decided, upon the release of Kaladesh, that they're going to start to do something. So we had Emrakul in format for maybe about 6 months, Reflector Mage, Smuggler's Copter. Those decks were all relatively in format for about 6 months. Then Wizards decided that they're going to ban Smuggler's Copter, which was arguably a good decision. It literally fit into every deck. And if it wasn't banned, it'd be hard-pressed to still not find it literally just slammed into every deck. Reflector Mage was an annoying card, tempo-based card. I don't think it deserved to be banned. And the white-blue deck that people thought was going to take over format was never in existence. It wasn't. Emrakul, the Promised End, I think for the most part, people say that, oh, this card was annoying. It was the ban of choice to do because at the time Aetherworks Marvel was using it and at the time Delirium was using it as a sort of finisher. And I think because Delirium was using it, that's the main reason why it got banned. But hear me out on this. If they decided to maybe instead of banning Emrakul, just ban Aetherworks Marvel outright, Emrakul still would have been in Standard. Delirium would have played and it would have been structured to one deck. Would that have been enough to push Delirium far beyond the point which where it already was? We don't know. Emrakul was preemptively banned. That's it. And then you have Felidar Guardian. Obviously, that thing should have not made Standard. It was a turn 4 combo. What can we say? Turn 4 combo in Standard shouldn't exist. I personally think that if you want to build a combo deck in Standard, that I've said it before and I'll say it again, that 1 through 4, in Standard at least, deserve to be for aggro only. 5 through 6, I want to say, that's when the combo mid-range should exist. You shouldn't have a combo deck exist that wins beyond turn 5, turn 6. Turn 7 above, control. And I know a lot of control players are like, oh, why is it turn 7? Why is it turn 6? Because we need things to get there. Because it's a slow-paced game that we should be able to control the game as control players up until that point. And here's where I think Wizards has made their largest mistake. They are no longer printing what was older format cards that I honestly think it was actually Mark Rosewater who said this, that they're basically no longer printing 1-drop Monodorks. They're no longer printing 4-drop Wrath of God spells for the sheer fact that they just don't, they want to verge from something different. And when you verge from something different in format, Keladesh to now is what happens. You have standard literally having 9 banned cards in it over the last year. You have one predominant deck show up because you're diverging from the old formulas. I know you want to diverge from the old formulas because you want to test something out new, but that doesn't necessarily mean newer will keep more players or newer will be more attractive to people. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And the only reason I think Settle the Records exists is because they realized, oh crap, we need a 4-drop Wrath spell in Standard. You can have a 3-drop Wrath spell. You can have Bantu's Last Reckoning. You can have this new 3-drop white Wrath spell that literally kills everything on the field that's like up to 4 power or something like that. I think it's like 4 power total. This new 3-drop Wrath spell in white deals with everything. But at that same token, it's not what Standard needs. Standard needs a reset button on 4, and that's what we have with Settle the Wreckage. I'm grateful for Settle the Wreckage being in Standard. I honestly think that's the only reason why they put it in Standard, because they, at research and development, finally realized, oh crap, we need a 1-drop Wrath spell. Just as much as we need burn spells in Standard, just as much as we need mana dorks in Standard, just as much as we need control in Standard. You can't just focus on one format and hope the other two formats follow suit. And by formats of fear, of course, I'm referring to aggro, control, and combo. You can't. You can't do that to Standard. Standard's arguably your most fragile format. Legacy and Modern will survive almost anything you do to them outside of like massive bannings. Legacy obviously is more pricey because you're not going to reprint the dual ends. You're just not. So it's harder to get into Legacy, but when a Legacy ban happens, you know it's because a card needed to be banned or because a card was too oppressive. When something happens in Modern, it's more often than not, quote-unquote, because we want to shake up the format. Not because a card's oppressive or because a card's putting out our numbers. No, it's because we just felt like shaking the format up and seeing what happens. I don't think that's what you need to do to keep a format healthy. You don't just want to randomly outgo and start shooting cards down. That's, I think, the wrong decision you want to do. If you want to do Modern right, and you want to do Standard right, you're going to need to print Modern playable cards in Standard, and you're going to need to make Standard almost like a new Modern format. Almost. I'm not saying it needs to be exact, but you need to make it so archetypes in Standard can last and potentially make it over to Modern. Like with the Eldrazi. The Eldrazi not only potentially made it into Modern, they made it into Legacy because the Eldrazi as an archetype was fantastic. A lot of people hate Eldrazi, but oh well, that's what we have now. If you look at other formats, Energy is not going to make it into Modern. Eternalize, not going to make it into Modern. Ascend, definitely not going to make it into Modern. Those three things aren't going to touch it. And when you have Standard exclusive things, the Standard environment becomes toxic. In a Standard environment, people start regretting Standard. People start going away from Standard. That's why you have to have formats within Standard that can touch Standard, touch Modern, and potentially touch Legacy. I'm not saying every set needs to have Legacy power in it. By God, no, that's exactly wrong. But every set should at least have the potential to make it over to Modern. Energy is far too slow to make it into Modern. Explore is just a good sealed and draft thing. Ascend, possibly good for Standard, possibly good for EDH, that's about it. When you look at Eternalize and you look at anything like that from Amonkhet, not going to make it into Modern. The format is just too fast and too aggressive for cards like that. In fact, the only card from Amonkhet that makes it into Modern for sure, to my knowledge at least, is a Braid. You might have a couple of other cards here and there, like a couple of the cycle lands and stuff like that, but overall, a Braid for sure makes it, and I can't honestly tell you another card off the top of my head that makes it into Modern from Amonkhet. When you look at Aether Revolt, you have Blossoming Defense making it into Infect and Fatal Push out of the Aether Revolt block and out of the Keladesh block. You obviously have the Fastlands coming in there too, but things like those small cards make small impacts on Modern, but overall, Energy is not going to make it. There are too many banned cards in there for anything to happen. It's just rough. And then Ixalan, when you look at Ixalan, Amonkhet was slightly underpowered because you had the Keladesh block super overpowered, so they underpowered Amonkhet, fine. But then they decided to further underpower Ixalan block. Outside of a couple of cards, again, for maybe like Merfolk out of the Ixalan block, I don't see a lot of cards from Ixalan block being memorable. You're not going to see the Elder Dinos see play in Modern. You're not going to see the Elder Dinos see play in Legacy. They're just too vulnerable, too weak you're obviously going to see him play an EDH, but if a card can't see play an EDH, you know it's broken. That does attest to some cards, but that's besides the point. Keladesh block, for standard reasons, was super overpowered, like I said before. Amonkhet, underpowered, but reasonable. And now, moving on to Ixalan, you have Vampires possibly coming out and maybe doing something in standard, but I don't see them doing a lot in modern. It's too slow. Fish has already existed in modern and legacy. They got a new lord, and they got a new one drop. That's about it. And honestly, I think that's really it. Pirates isn't going to make it into modern, and Dinos isn't going to make it into modern. The two new tribes that we were most excited about in standard and possibly for modern EDH purposes, Wizards of the Coast decided to flip it on the fandom. We all were hoping Pirates was going to be great. We've wanted Pirates for years. But instead, we decided to focus on Merfolk and on the Planeswalkers. We all love dinosaurs. I can't tell you a Magic player who has an ill opinion of dinosaurs. And then Magic decides to go, yeah, dinosaurs are just going to be slow. And then we go, okay, well, are they at least going to be good for standard? No, they're not going to be good for standard. You're going to have a couple of options. You're probably going to have to wait till energy rotates. And even then, we're going into Dominaria, which, by the way, folks, Dominaria also has more Merfolk. So just a heads up, maybe invest in the Merfolk deck and possibly Goblins. So Goblins might come back from whatever Goblins that we have from the Pirates. But granted, I think there's only like one or two good ones. And that's it. That really is it. I don't see dinosaurs seeing a lot of play in Dominaria. Maybe Carnage Tyrant, maybe a couple other rando dinosaurs. But overall, when you look at it in the long run, it's just too slow. Dinosaurs are just too slow, and Pirates are just too finicky. And that's the really unfortunate thing about this whole situation, is the two tribes we look forward to the most and should have received the most attention did not. And that's where, again, the research and development team needs to come in, really sort this thing out, because Dinosaurs and Pirates should have been at this forefront. They really should have, for a new standard environment. That's how you get more players in if you want to try something new. You bring in new tribes that no one's ever seen before, not touching up old tribes and possibly making them even better. Granted, with the older tribes, that is the one thing they did hit, was the touch-up makes it so that these tribes get touched up in modern and get touched up in legacy. Granted, Vampires doesn't get played in legacy, and Vampires is not a thing in modern, but maybe with all these Vampires that we saw, maybe they'll see play in modern. I highly doubt it, but Merfolk definitely gets the touch-up that it's desperately needed for a long time. So this overall, and this is kind of where I want to somewhat end it, God knows this rant's going to go on for a little bit longer, is with these recent bans. And the reason why I'm obviously not discussing the Timur ban is I think for the most part, unless you're a Timur player, we can all kind of agree Timur needed to be banned. And they didn't outright kill the deck. They obviously made it less consistent, which is what I think needed to happen. They made the right call on that, and I'm in favor of Attune with Aether and Rogue Refiner. Those two cards just made the deck too consistent. If you made a Rogue Refiner a 3-drop 1/2 that drew you a card and gained you 2 energy, I think it would have been unbannable. You would have seen Whirler Virtuoso get banned, but instead, because the Rogue Refiner has too much power and can trade evenly with a lot of things, that's the main reason why it was banned. Just drawing a card is also kind of really good. But kind of getting back to what I wanted to talk about, I think that with these recent bans, we do have to worry for Standard for quite some time. Standard is by far an imperfect format. If you want to look at perfect formats, you want to look towards Modern, you want to look towards Legacy, you see generally decent balances of other decks. You'll see, take Modern for example, it'll be 40% aggro, it'll be 30% control, and the other 30% will be combo, or some variation of there else. And you don't normally see bans from Modern, bans from Legacy happen in rapid succession like they do in Standard. So now Standard is looking at this upcoming year for Dominaria and for the new core set that's going to be coming out soon. And I start to worry, as I mentioned before, we're going to see a lot of interesting things pop up. We obviously, Standard's going to have a lot more decks pop up because those Ramunap Red and Timur Energy were just choking the format. But at that same token, it leaves me hesitant because we do have another ban list coming on February 12th. The smart thing for Wizards to do would not be ban anything on February the 12th. But something tells me that if some deck decides to pop up again, or if Timur Energy or if Ramunap Red decide to keep like popping up, maybe something out of those decks will also get nicked again. But there's also the fact that if Control pops up and Control seems to be too dominant in the format that Control will get banned. And we're talking obviously about the $40 Scarab God, we're looking at Hostage Taker. Those two cards are heavily targeted and can be banned. Heck, Hostage Taker was already eroded before release from Explorers of Ixalan. Hazoret the Fervent could get banned in theory out of red. I don't think it's likely, but it is a possibility for Hazoret to get banned. Torrential Gearhulk, again, is another big target that they could ban out of control decks or out of blue decks. A lot of people hate this Fat Caster Mage and have hated Fat Caster Mage for a long time. If Winding Constrictor shows back up again, and the blue-black decks start doing very well with blue-black Constrictor, you could see Winding Constrictor, you could see Walking Ballista taking the next hit. Fatal Push, I highly doubt it, but that is a value card that they could ban in Standard. And Search for Azcanta. Those are all super value cards within this last Standard block that they'll be looking heavily at and seeing what decks play and what decks don't, what's their win percentage in it, are they too oppressive? And that's just from this last Standard. That's not talking about the new cards that we see. You see Merfolk Mistbinder and Legion Lieutenant being the new 2-drop Lords, which I think is, yeah, they're going to make these 2-drop Lords that are possibly going to make other formats, but are they too strong for Standard? It's just a hard decision to make, and I think we'll find that out shortly. I do think that we're going to see a Merfolk deck pop up, and when the Merfolk deck pops up, they're going to be looking heavily at Merfolk Mistbinder, if not a couple other cards within the Merfolk deck. The same thing could be said for Legion's Lieutenant should a Vampire deck now pop up. Ravenous Chupacabra, granted, is a great draft card, but you already have pro players talking about this card being too strong for an uncommon. You get this card, comes into play, kills something of its choice, and is a 2-2 body, so it can block or possibly trade or kill something on the crackback. That card is amazing for Standard, so even though it's better for draft, imagine this card being in blue-black control. I now cast this card, kill one of your things, Ravenous Chupacabra is down on the field, block something, Ravenous Chupacabra dies. I reanimate this thing with the Scarab God. It comes into play, it is now a 4-4 and kills another one of your things. I could see how that can be annoying, possibly even oppressive if we get to abuse it right. And I could see Ravenous Chupacabra possibly even getting banned. Enter the Unknown, it's just a replacement in theory for Attune with the Aether. Granted, you can play it on turn 2. You have to play it on turn 2 because you need a creature to target. You can't just cast this thing, not have a target. And if you're not familiar with it, it says target creature you control explores, and then you could play an additional land for the turn at sorcery speed for 1 mana. My issue is, this is the same thing Attune with the Aether arguably did, and it's slower because you have to play a creature first, but it's still possibly a ramp spell that'll get you to turn 3 quicker than you anticipated. The same thing goes for Thunderherd Migration. I never thought I would talk about these cards like this. I never thought I would compare these cards to pass cards because they ramp you on turn 2, or pass cards because they're similar to Rampant Growth. That used to be what green strictly does, was grow and drop a big fatty. That used to be all it is. And I know I'm talking from like an older Magic player's perspective. I got into Magic around the Llanowar block, and this was, like, I didn't have an opportunity to play in Mirrodin. I went from Llanowar, Shards of Lara, so on and so forth. And looking at these cards, they're obviously not strong in comparison, but they had a great format outside of, again, the Mirrodin block. They had a great format going into Zendikar. And I think after Zendikar is kind of where they flipped things. They started to focus more on one of the three elements of Magic more so. Because once we got past Innistrad, we go into Ravnica, and that's where we see the control decks really line up. The stars align for control, and ever since Ravnica, we really haven't had a great control deck because they're too afraid to push the control deck, and they're too afraid to now push the combo decks, especially after Felidar Guardian and Aetherworks Marvel. They're just too afraid to push those boundaries anymore. So for the last little bit, it has been nearly exclusively control, and yeah, we do have the random like combo deck like Rally or Coco that'll show up, but those cards aren't in Standard very long. They're in Standard for like 6 months before they rotate. And that's my issue right now. I know I'm going to get back on track. I know I'm veering off and ranting. With those three cards, you also have the introduction of Baffling End. And Baffling End, if you're not familiar, is a 2-drop enchantment. Literally permanently exiles something, and then if you manage to get rid of Baffling End, you get a 3-3 Trampler. Now, a lot of decks aren't running main board enchantments, so it makes Baffling End quite hard to deal with. It's going to go into the Approach of the Second Sun deck. It's probably going to go into the God Pharaoh's Gift deck as just their main source of removal. I'm fine with that because, again, I'm control. I don't care if they have that card in there. It's kind of like a dead card against me. But at the same token, it's rather slow. I doubt it'll ever get banned, but we have to look at good cards more carefully. If a card's too good, you have to start mentioning, well, this card's a little, it could get banned. And the same thing you could say for Galta, Primal Hunger, and Kumena, Tyrant of Araska. Kumena is too good for the Merfolk deck, and is the cornerstone of the Merfolk deck. Kumena will get axed over the Lord, or they might both get axed. And then you have Galta, Primal Hunger, coming down. He comes down on turn 4, I think. I think somebody calculated out he will come down turn 4, possibly with haste, which is ridiculous for anyone to have a 12-12 with haste. That literally means you have to have an exile spell on turn 4 and be on the play. Otherwise, you are now taking 12 to the dome because no one really plays Death Touch main right now. You have Death Touch seeing sideboard play. And that's another issue that, yeah, they're printing out these big cards, but now we're having these big cards come out and they might be issues that we have to have a more close look at. And before I forget to mention, the only reason I haven't mentioned Carnage Tyrant possibly getting on the ban list is Carnage Tyrant really hasn't seen a lot of standard play. You see him as like a one of maybe a two of in some sideboards, and he hasn't really made that big of an impact. But if he should make an impact, oh, we better get ready for the Banhammer, because you can't kill this guy without a sack outlet. And if you can't tell, obviously that's sarcasm. Well, I don't know if my rant was, say, enlightening, or if a lot of people share my opinions or ideas out there, but I thank you all for listening. It's good to get some of these things off my chest and onto the chests of others and let them kind of sort of think things out. I do want to say that once the dust is settled and we start to get more into the standard format, I will be doing more lists and will be more inclined to review things. I am going to GP Houston in a couple of weeks, so pay attention there. I'm hoping to have a great event at GP Houston. If you follow me on Twitter, or if you wish to follow me on Twitter, you could find me at MTG Eternities. You could also find me on YouTube by the same name, MTG Eternities. I'm not that hard to find. I'm down for any discussions. Please light this podcast up with comments, or light this video up with comments, wherever you listen to this, whether it be YouTube or here on the main podcast site. I want to know what you guys are thinking. I'm sure that's the inclined discussion right now. So what's going on with Standard and future discussions of Standard? I think it's a very open door right now, and we need to take advantage of this discussion while we can. So that being said, just remember, all lines of thought are open for all Magic seekers. This is your host from MTG Eternities, signing out.